Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry. Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast. You've got Keith Chancy live today with you at the Kanakuk Institute podcast, the new podcast room. We are so excited to bring you maybe some of the just some of the fun teaching that we have here at the Institute. We are so excited about God's Word and how it is transforming, and how the reality of what we're learning through God's Word is just changing our world as it changes us from the inside out. We are so excited today because we've been going through the book of James, and we just completed chapter 1 and we're into chapter 2. Chapter 2, we're going to look at the attitude of favoritism, whereas in chapter 1, we looked at the joy that only God could give to us through the trials of life. And so as we look today here in verses 14 of chapter 2, what I want to do today is I want to walk y'all through something that has been very controversial to so many people. Because the other day, I had a guy come up to my house riding a bicycle dressed in a suit. And there were two of them, and they walked up to my door and they said, "Hello, we are from the church," and I won't tell you where they were from, but they were from a church. And they began to say, "We would love to talk to you." Well, seizing an opportunity, I was very excited for them to come into my house, and I offered them something to drink, and we sat down, and I began to listen to their spiel. So, as I say that, very reverently and hospitality-wise, I welcome them in my home. But soon into this, I began to hear some things that were very conflicting to what I believe. It wasn't long into it that they began to share with me that I needed to work for my faith. Well, as I heard this, immediately I said, "Let's turn to the book of James." And they said, "That is exactly where we're coming from." And so I loved hearing them share what I was about to share with them from a completely different standpoint. And so today what I want to do is I just want to encourage you, if you've ever wondered, am I saved by works? If you've ever questioned that, I want today to relieve you of that responsibility that you have to work to be saved. But I want to encourage you with something today. If we truly know Christ, we have a belief system that we believe who Jesus is, we believe that he died on the cross, we believe that he rose from the grave, and we understand that, and it has turned our heart upside down, so to speak, spiritually speaking. I don't have to work for my faith, but I want to work. You see, there's a big difference in having to work and working because of a love relationship. And you know, as I say that, I just want to encourage you with Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace we've been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast." So as I just think about that, I love that feeling that I'm saved by grace. And I am, according to verse 10 of Ephesians 2, I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. I'm not saved by works, but I am saved for good works. And now I'm going to walk you through this in beautiful text just to kind of help you. And we're going to start here with verse 14. And look what it says. He says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and yet he has no works? Can that faith save him?" Well, you know, that's an interesting thought right there. This important phrase, what it does is it governs the interpretation of the whole passage. James does not say that a person actually has faith. What he says is that this person claims to have a faith. He is claiming to have something that he now wants to address. And so he says, "Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and someone says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet does not give them something that was necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." We would 100% agree to that because, you know, I have a neighbor next door and I love them because they are so sweet and so kind. And the day they moved in, One of the things I did is I just walk over, I knock on their door, I take them some cookies, I invite them to be involved in certain things that I'm involved in, we invite them to church, we just begin to love on them. And over the last 3 years, we've developed an incredible relationship with them. Even so much so, they've given me a key to their house. When their daughter is learning how to drive, they say, "Chancey, we teach my daughter how to drive." They just want us to be a part of their life. Now, why would they want that? It wasn't that I'm just such a good guy. It was that they trusted me. They begin to say, "We see you. You come over. You encourage us. You and Karen are such a good couple. We appreciate you. And anytime we have a need, we can trust you to help meet that need." But if we just said, "Hi, how are you?" but we never came and helped any need they ever had, that wouldn't be real friendship. And so that's what we're talking about here. We, you know, when you truly are a believer, you do something. You walk over, you encourage people, you want to get in their life. And that's the attitude that I go, "I just love people." It's not an attitude of favoritism. I've got something that I'm withholding from people. See, if I've got Christ in me, what I want to do is I want to make sure that other people have the same Christ that I have. I'm not better. I'm not worse. Because salvation doesn't make us better or worse. It makes us saved. And so, you know, we're all going to struggle with sin and we're all going to deal with the issues of life. But God is the one single thing that changes the course of our life. And so let's just kind of keep following through this text. He says, you know, verse 17, "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is a dead being by itself." And so what we need to understand right there is that that faith that we have by itself is that it would just be a phony thing if I'm just talking about something that has not changed or transformed me from the inside out. Now, in verse 18, he says, "But someone may well say, 'You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.'" Wow. That's a great passage right there, because you see, what I have is I have a faith, and I show you my faith by the way that I live. So he says, "I have works, show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." It's so good to see if someone can't show you anything that replicates Christ, there's no real faith in that. But if someone has faith and they show you their faith by their works, it just validates what you know about them. You go, that is real faith. But they're not saved by that work, but because they are saved, they want to work. Great news for me. Because you see, now I'm not basing my life upon a scale. That on one side I hold my bad, and on my other side I hold my good, and I hope at the end of my life I hope my good outweigh my bad. That's not the scales in which I hope, but my salvation is not based upon the works, it's based upon the work that Jesus did. His work on the cross, dying for me, raising from the grave, and giving himself the Spirit of God within me makes me now want to do the works of God to show myself, to show them who Christ is. What a great feeling that is. Well, now he goes into an illustration here. He says, guys, in verse 19, "You believe that God is one?" Great word right there. You believe, we believe. And so he's talking to the believers. He says, "You believe that God is one, you do well." But now he says, "Even the demons believe, but yet they tremble." And so he says, guys, you believe? Good. Even the demons believe, but yet they tremble. Demons have great orthodoxy. They have great understanding of truth. They're smart. Even back all the way to the garden experience, all Satan did was twist what God said. And so as we think about that, if you were Satan, what would you want to make mankind try to do? Make man have to work for his salvation. And so that's been the course of life of demonic presences ever, is that they're trying to get you to do something that God has already done. Wow. You know, and so these demons, do you believe? They shudder. You bet they do. He says, but we don't even shudder. We should become more in the mindset of I want to make Christ known. I don't want to be afraid in the end of my life that I've not done enough things to be enough goods. I don't want to be afraid that I haven't done enough, but I want to rest every day of my life going, you know what? In Christ, I am enough. And now because I am enough, I want to tell everybody about this Jesus that I know and the one that has changed my life. And now I'm not trying not to sin. I'm loving God more than my sin. That just makes sense to me. That my relationship with Christ is a love relationship, not a works relationship. And when I understand that, it changes how I live. I love people better. Now the attitude of chapter 2, favoritism, I quit looking at people differently and going, I like that person, I don't like that person. But I start going, I like all people because I have one thing for everybody. I have the greatest gift ever given. I have Jesus. And the way I'm going to show them Jesus is how I live my life. But I'm not trying to show them something that's not a part of my life. I'm not trying to be better than them, but I'm being something that God has made me be through the Spirit. And so as I say all that, I just want to encourage you guys out there today. I know the devil's trying to lie to you to make you think you've got to do more. You know what? You'll never do more until you really understand the true relationship that you have with God. It is a love relationship. And it's one that just says, you know, I see my neighbor. I want to go over there and love them. I want to meet their needs. At work, I want to walk into work and I want to start encouraging people. With my mom and dad, my brothers, my sisters, and aunts, uncles, I just want to start sharing with them a conversation that lets them know how much I love them. But I'm going to get up and I'm going to wash the dishes. I'm going to get up and I'm going to cook some food. I'm going to clean the table. I'm going to start helping with the yard work. I'm going to do whatever I can, not to be a works mentality person, but to show them Christ through my works. And when they see me be different, I will tell you this, they'll want whatever you've got because they're going to start asking you, what is different about you? Because a life that does work is different. But the works that a believer does is not to earn heaven. It's because he's already gotten heaven. Wow. Well, guys, today as I just look at that, I am so blessed to share with you guys this. And I want to encourage you. You know, as we see right here in verse 20, it says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac as his son on the altar? Verse 22, you see, that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works of faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received from the messengers and she sent them away by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. You see the beauty of this, and here's how I conclude today. What I love about this is Abraham was saved by faith alone. It wasn't his works. But because he was saved, about 20 years after Abraham was saved, he was willing to go sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar. 20 years later. Why? Not because he was working for, but because he had already worked out his salvation. He knew his belief in Christ was enough in God. And so therefore now he had a belief system and Rahab had a belief system and they were changed from the inside out. And because they were changed, now Rahab was willing to lead the spies out. Abraham was willing to lay his son on the altar. And so now I ask the question to myself, what am I doing? You know, I'm not saved because I work, but I'm saved because of what Christ has done. What I love here is that in verse 22 and in verse 24, James says, you see that faith. And then verse 24, you see that a man is justified. You see, what people want to look at in us today is that we're not saved by works, but they want to say, I see that person looking different. They just act different. There's something different about their life, and that something different is called grace. Grace alone is what saves us, and our works now are a result of that grace that I do these things because of what God has done for me. Thank you, James, for giving me this great word of encouragement that I need to quit trying to work for it and understand your love for me, and I want to be different because you are different. Thank you, Jesus, for washing feet, and may I wash a lot of feet, and may a lot of people see me loving Jesus and see my faith being real because of grace. Hey, have the best day ever. God bless. Bye-bye.